Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleisher Show, broadcasting live from Judea to the world. You're a part of it wherever you are. Shalom and welcome to the Land of Israel Network. And shalom and welcome to my study, my little workroom here in Judea, overlooking the mountains of the Maccabees. That's right. This is where many of the battles of the Maccabees took place, here close by in Beit Sur. This is where Judah Maccabee held out against the Syrian Greeks. This is also where Elazar, one of the Maccabees, fell when he thought that he was attacking one of the, either the king or the Seleucid king, or maybe one of the generals, and the elephant fell on top of him, as the story goes. So I'm looking at right now at these mountains and thinking about the Maccabees, and I'm thinking about you as we are in this incredible holiday called Hanukkah. Now, I'm recording the show a little bit early. This is today. It's only Monday, and it's the first day still of the first candle of Hanukkah. But I'm going to vacation, as our family does during Hanukkah every year. And I wanted to get something out before we left and not miss the show, because it's just such an important holiday and something that I wanted to really share with you. I wanted to share the feelings of this holiday with you. And right now at my desk, I've got a little, check this out, I'm just looking at this right now. I've got a casing of a explosive grenade called the M203, a part of something called a grenade launcher from the bottom of an M16 or different other ways that it can be shot. I have one of these casings that I took back from the Army. And guess what the weird thing about this casing is that a T-light, a so-called T-light, fits right into this casing. And I got this casing right now, and a T-light's there, and I got one candle lit. This is not for the halachic purposes. This is just to remind me that it's Hanukkah. And right behind it, I have a paper cutout that was given to me by some German tourists. It's a Star of David, and the menorah is within it. And it's kind of, the candle is lit, and its light is glowing onto this Star of David with the menorah in it. And it's giving a shadow behind it of just a larger version of its same cutout. And it faces underneath this window on these Judean mountains. And I can feel, I can feel the presence of the Maccabees and the battles here. And I can also feel you hearing me wherever you are right now. And altogether, it just gives me this feeling like, wow, this holiday of Hanukkah, do we understand the full weight of it? And I said something to my wife, Malka, and she said to me, this is surprising to her a little bit. And I was like surprised that she was surprised. She said I should write it up, but I'm going to tell it to you on this show. And that is really Hanukkah, all that stuff that I was describing, I was getting to this point. Hanukkah is the ultimate independence holiday. It's the ultimate Yom Ha'atzmaut. We have a Yom Ha'atzmaut in our time, but Hanukkah is the ultimate Yom Ha'atzmaut. And that's because while we have today independence, we also have a lot of haters and enemies that live within our borders, and we also do not have a temple. But Hanukkah reflects all three aspects: independence, political independence, a land that is no longer filled with the enemies because the Maccabees either killed or got rid of or converted their enemies in various ways they dealt with them, and number three, they had a temple. And please do not fall for the misnomer that somehow the Maccabees did it in a few months and the whole thing is over. It was a 25, 30-year battle, incredibly bloody, incredibly challenging, incredibly also a fight with the Jews. Meaning to say, it was, on some level, also a civil war. So that's not a simple thing to swallow, especially in modern sensibilities. It's like, wow, you can't have a civil war. You know, we've got the Begin Doctrine, I'll never shoot at a fellow Jew. And maybe that's right, but that's not Hanukkah. Okay? And just yesterday, I was touring in Hebron, a very, very so-called liberal group. And I say so-called because I don't think that self-identifying liberals are oftentimes as liberal as they may think, because their ideology is oftentimes quite illiberal to the rest of us, right? The Jews or the Israelis. In any case, so this guy says to me, a professor type, he goes, I can't go into the tombs of the patriarchs and matriarchs. There's blood that's been spilled on top of the head of Abraham. And he was referring to the Goldstein massacre. And I said, that happened 25 years ago. He goes, still, it's disgusting, it's bloody, and that's not Judaism. I go, not Judaism? What about King David? What about the Exodus from Egypt? And I kept listening to him things, and I'm like, do you want to tell me that you can't deal with a Judaism that is bloody? You might as well turn in your card, buddy. You might as well give up being a tribe member. And he had some clever and yet incorrect answer to give me. But in any case, Hanukkah, my point is not exactly an embrace of brothers. An embrace of some brothers, and then a challenge to some other brothers. And so too, the Torah portions that we're dealing with right now are also a hard look into the Jewish family and to the tension within the Jewish family. And we're talking about here within the righteous 12 brothers. And the sages and the Kabbalists have all kinds of ways of dealing with this, which I respect very much. In many ways, the Kabbalists want to say a lot of this was done against their own will. For example, Yehuda turning towards Tamar and having relations with her as though she's a harlot. The Kabbalists are like, he didn't even want to do it, but the angel just pushed him to it. And if you read the text carefully, there are little clues like that. For example, it says, Vayetele Aderech, the road pushed him towards her. Or when it says about Joseph, you know, God could have made it that Joseph never saw his brothers because his brothers would have gone to a different town. And the text goes out of its way to tell you somebody told him the way. As in there's an angel who told him how to go there. So that the whole narrative that God wanted to happen is going to happen, which is the exile. God wanted the exile. Did we deserve the punishment of exile? That's not clear. What is clear is that God said to Abraham, your children are going to be strangers in the land of Egypt, and they're going to come out after 400 years, and I want that to happen. I want that to take place. So we are exiled through this process that we're in these two Torah portions. And really, in my last show, which was this airport show, where I wasn't feeling good. And thank you so many friends for writing me well wishes. I really do appreciate it very much. But I was in a funky situation there. It wasn't very lit and I wasn't feeling good and I hadn't had as much time to prepare as I would have liked. I forgot to say a few things that really matter to me. And one of them is that to understand that Torah portion of Vayeshev is really all about the beginning of exile, the beginning of the exile that's going to take us through the rest of the Torah. Right, the Jewish people through the rest of the five books of Moses are going to be either in the Egyptian exile or in the Sinai desert or right on the edge of coming to the land of Israel, but never quite making it. As opposed to that is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a land of Israel holiday. It's never about exile. It's actually about incursion, about foreign nations entering our land and our soil after already there was a second temple. And the rule of great nations over the land of Israel. That's very different. That's very different than the Jewish people in exile. And I've written about this, and I think it's very important to understand that there's a different modality between a Jew living in the diaspora, where he or she is given to the host community, to the host body, and we have to be appreciative and subservient to the host body, as opposed to our nation on our land, but having to sometimes push back on foreign influences, incursions into our land, or foreign entities still in our land. The book of Joshua is all about getting rid of all these foreign entities that are in the land. And so too today, it is not politically correct to say that we've got entities in the land that we got to get rid of. But that's part of the biblical story. And Hanukkah is about cleansing the land from foreign influences, foreign ideas, foreign peoples, foreign gods, foreign ways to serve in the temple, and attraction to those foreign things that are in the land. So That's what Hanukkah is about, as opposed to our Torah portion. So in some way, we're like at cross currents, right? There's the cross current of we're learning in the Torah portions about the exile and about going down into Egypt and about accepting God's decree that the Jewish people will go into exile, while Hanukkah is much more about exiling the getting rid of the stuff that's in the land and purifying it. On the other hand, there is something that brings it together, and that is the story of the challenge of intra-Jewish fighting, intra-Jewish tensions. And also the question of, when we're in the exile, how much can we accept from the foreign, from the host body? How much of their culture and milieu can we accept upon ourselves? And so too in our land. Are we supposed to be completely rejectionist of all foreign influences? That's not quite clear. That's what the Maccabees were about, but later on, they were unable to hold that line. The Jewish people were unable to hold that line. And there's always a question, are we supposed to somehow engage? On the one hand, the answer seems obvious, yes. On the other hand, no, we're supposed to be a nation that dwells alone. And I even found a famous Talmudic passage where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is speaking very badly about the Romans, the folks that come after the Greeks. And he says everything that they do is for profit and for their own self, and for their own self-aggrandizement. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, who had a different take altogether. And he said, no, this nation has these Romans. They have incredible things that they do. Look at the infrastructure that they build. It's just amazing. And they've brought culture to the world. We owe them something. And Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai are totally at cross currents. Which one is right? Well, history shows, right? No, history does not show. Both of them are highly respected rabbis. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is, of course, the author of the Kabbalah. And Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai is the most quoted rabbi in the Mishnah. His psaks are the most quoted halachic decisions in the Mishnah. So which one is right? Romans are an amazing people, and their culture is something to be admired, or they're to be completely rejected. Maybe the answer lies in the difference between the revealed Torah, which is the Mishnah, and the Kabbalah, which is the hidden Torah. Maybe on the level, let's not call it superficial, but on a more, definitely not superficial, on a more this-worldly practical level, surely there is what to learn from the Romans. But on the deep, deep connection that a Jewish person has to God, that is a Buberian, like a Buber way of thinking, which is I, thou. It's me and you, God, and it's our secret way, which is certainly in the worship of God. There is no Romanness. In the ways of life, there is an appreciation for the Roman way. But in the service of God, there is not. I think that is a deep answer. And all of us, we have to serve God in the true way of the Torah. But then, and that's the call, Kol Yaakov, the voice of Jacob. But in the way that we engage this world, we have to shop at Amazon and go to college and get a job or know how to, you know, not everybody that has a job goes to college. Some of the great, you know, business people in this world, but they know how to engage this world. So the hands are the hands of Esav. So that is, I think, some of the tensions that underlie this holiday. But still, though, the main point that I want to get across is the great day of independence, where our political body is independent. Our land is free from influences that are rejectionist of the land of the people of Israel, the land of Israel, and there's a temple in Jerusalem. That's the full independence, and that's what Hanukkah is. And that's what I want you to consider when you're lighting the Hanukkah candles, which is full independence. Not rejection necessarily of everything Greek or Roman. Not necessary. Don't go too far. But in terms of our Jewish independence in the land of Israel, that's what Hanukkah is. It is a total victory. And that is, as my mother put it to me, that is their message for the generations. That is their legacy for the generations, that they were able to achieve that. And a lot of people poo-poo it and say, hey, but it didn't last, and all, and they became themselves Hellenists. Forget that for a second. Just remember their heritage, their legacy, what they brought into this world, the vision that they brought into this world. So that's the Maccabees, and we are asked to be Maccabees, there's a power to be a Maccabee. By the way, today on Twitter, I got to put up two, just, you know, there are things that you put up from time to time that are just good, and then there are things that you put up that are just fabulous. And what I got to put up was two things. One is the lighting of Chanukiah on top of Marat HaMachpelah with a video taken by a drone by the army, and it's nighttime footage, and you just see the whole Marat HaMachpelah, the Tomb of the Fathers and Mothers, lit up in the light that it's supposed to be. Just gorgeous. Just blew me away. And you have to see it, and it's on my Facebook, on my Twitter. And the other thing was this tweet by an American Jewish astronaut named Jessica Meir. So two things about her name. Before I tell you what her name's about, she's got this tweet. So she's an astronaut, and she's up at the International Space Station. She's a shaliach there from NASA, right? And she tweeted a picture that has now, at this point, been liked. It's being retweeted over 3,000 times now and liked 16,000 times. But it's basically a picture of her at the part of the space station that has a lot of windows that you could look out into space. They're like vista point there. And you just see her feet over a beautiful blue earth. It's her feet are kind of dangling, and it's her feet with socks on them. And the socks are Hanukkah socks. They have a menorah, and they have a Star of David. And she has her feet a little bit crossed, and it's just right over the background is this big blue earth with clouds. And she writes, "Happy Hanukkah to all those who celebrate it here on Earth. Celebrate it on Earth. Happy Hanukkah from the International Space Station and NASA." Wow. I mean, she thought of taking those socks with her to celebrate Hanukkah down the line. That's a mind blower. That's just awesome. And I, of course, retweeted that. Jessica is the male form of Jessica is Jesse. Jesse is the English way of saying Yishai. And Meir, or Meir, is from the word La'ir, to light up. So she is lighting the light of Yishai. And Yishai, of course, is the father of King David. So this is a messianic thing. Meir is light. Jessica is Jesse's Yishai. And the light of Yishai, not Yishai Fleischer, but the light of Mashiach is being lit up here. And that is just awesome. We salute you, Jessica Meir. I salute you. I think you're just amazing and awesome and really a cool lady. She's got 128,000 followers on Twitter. I urge you to do that as well. So happy Hanukkah, my friends. And also I'm getting happy Hanukkah from the United Arab Emirates, which is really neat stuff. It's great to hear from our Arab brothers and sisters in the region that really they are calling it out loud. And this is the moment of social media, that social media shines. Social media has a way of not shining. But this is shining to me, that Arabs around the region are saying, "We are with you, Israel. We stand with you, Israel," and they are doing it loudly. And it is beautiful. And I just want to urge my brother Hassan Sajwani to keep lighting it up. He is awesome. He is awesome, and there are many more Arabs out there. He's from the United Arab Emirates. He's a businessman, and he's just doing amazing stuff by just sending that message out there. And that's powerful to me that this region is uniting. And about Hanukkah, right? When the Gentiles promote Hanukkah, that is also Messianic times. Because Hanukkah is, you know, it's not the tolerant holiday. There's an element of it which is like it says, when you celebrate Hanukkah, you're actually saying the real Jewish people, be strong, stand up, and hold on to your Jerusalem. And the fact that some folks that are not into that way of thinking love Hanukkah is mysterious. Maybe that's the aspect of the Holiday of Lights, and maybe it's kind of, relationship and time to the Christmas season, whatever it is. But, like, it is a mystery to me how people who are kind of post-Zionist, anti-Zionist, and all that are Hanukkah lovers. Do they somehow, you know, blind themselves to what the real meaning of Hanukkah is? Whatever, you know, maybe it's their Jewish soul is lit up, you know, by this thing, and we should see it positively. Maybe there's one more amazing connection between Hanukkah and the story of Joseph that I want to talk about, and that is that Pharaoh has, in this week's Torah portion, Pharaoh has the famous dreams, Pharaoh's dreams, right? And Pharaoh sees, you know, the healthy cows, and they're eaten by sickly cows, and he sees the healthy grains eaten by sickly grains, and the number seven is mentioned there, and Joseph is able to interpret them. And Joseph, you know, he's something of dreams. I forgot the name, the proper name for Joseph. He's the king of dreams, right? So Joseph, king of dreams. That's right. So this Joseph, king of dreams, he's able to interpret this dream and then become the viceroy because he's very gifted. I have a different take on Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh dreams about cows being swallowed, right? Good cows being swallowed. Maybe the cows, as we know that Joseph is represented by the bull, maybe the cows that Pharaoh really dreams of is actually the children of Israel. And he says, the children of Israel are going to come down into Egypt, and we, an inferior culture, Egypt, will swallow up the culture of Joseph and his brothers. And then there's also the husks, which is also, we know that's Joseph, because Joseph had a dream that the other bundles of grain bowed down to him. So again, here's grain, and you see the bad grain is going to eat the good grain. In other words, Joseph, you've come down into Egypt, and your brothers are going to come down to Egypt. The Jewish people will, and we will swallow you guys up. We will destroy you. We will be superior. We will consume you. We will assimilate you into our system. The minute that Joseph explains these dreams, guess what Pharaoh does? He changes his name, Tzafnat Paneh. He gives him new clothing and an Egyptian look and an Egyptian wife, right? So basically, Pharaoh's like, okay, let me begin fulfilling the prophecy, which is I'm going to swallow you up. But Joseph keeps his internal identity. Yes, he's got this other name, but he remembers who he is. Ani Yosef, you'll say later on. And the wife, which is one of the most powerful things to assimilate a person, you know, out of the Jewish family line. Well, the Midrash says that she's actually the product of the rape of Dinah in Shechem, which where it was Joseph's kind of soul is really bound to, the place where he's really from. And she's actually been sent down to Egypt through a wild way, but she's actually his kin, his family, and he indeed marries, shall we say, a Jewish girl, or a girl from his tribe, from his family. And so all the efforts of Pharaoh to swallow up the identity of Joseph is for naught. He makes him an important citizen in Egypt, but still, though, he always eats separately from the rest of the Egyptians. Somehow it's remembered that he's not of them. And so that will to swallow up the Jewish people in Egypt never happens. And so to the land of Israel, today it's obvious that it's a separate entity from the Arab countries around us. But back then, 2,000 years ago, it was provinces. You know, this was part of the Greek world. And then there was, you know, it was Alexander's domain, and the generals were fighting over it. But it wasn't supposed to be the separate kind of Jewish state, maybe a province of Judea. And yet, the Maccabees fought for that special Jewish identity. And Jewish identity is so important, and so much erodes today that unique identity. And it's oftentimes from folks who claim that they're fighting for human rights, civil rights, social justice. But in the end, their effect is, and they say this is the name of Judaism, what I call hashtag my Judaism. But in their effect is to try to undermine authentic Judaism, the story of Judaism, the goal of Judaism. That does not mean that we're supposed to be not socially just, but it means that we do have our own ethnic separate identity. And again, in cooperation with the rest of mankind, in cooperation with the other nations around us, in part of the Middle East, in part of a globalized world, absolutely. But internally, deeply inside, our relationship to God has to be our special way. Our special way. I'm very, very excited about this tension between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. That tension, because I myself always felt that had I been in that room and they were talking about the Romans, then I would have easily been on the camp of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai and been like, wait a minute, the roads and libraries and aqueducts and, you know, and what have the Romans ever given us? Well, it's safe to walk the streets at night, etc. I would have been on Rav Yehuda Bar Ilai's side, and I kind of didn't know the second part, which was Rav Yehuda Bar Ilai is incredibly respected. I always thought Rabbi Shimon was right, and he was right for generations. So was there something wrong with me? No, there's nothing wrong with that way of thinking. It's just understand where the parameters are, where we have to have great relations with the world, with America, with our regional counterparts, with the UAE, with Saudi Arabia, etc., with the whole world, with the Mediterranean basin, trade, globalization, which I think is fantastic for Israel, right? And that maybe it's the difference also between globalization and globalism. Have you heard about this difference? On the one hand, international trade, international relations, the quickening of all these things, a good thing, but that doesn't mean there should be one world government, right? Don't think that just because there's international trade, there should be one government that rules all of us as one mankind. No. So keep, and they distinguish between internet and between globalism and globalization. I forgot which one is which, but you understand the point, which is one is meant to be a more conductive world of trade and relations, and one is supposed to erase ethnic and religious and linguistic and financial identities, which is really not the way to go. So keep up the nationalism, but that does not mean give up internationalism. Enjoy internationalism, but don't necessarily give up nationalism. The internationalist nationalist. Is that interesting? Is that an interesting combination of words? The internationalist nationalist? Because I came up with a phrase, the rationalist nationalist. In any case, friends, there will be more part of the Yishai show coming up. I hope that I'll be able to record with Malka from an undisclosed location in the desert and send it and add it to this part of the show. I want to wish you a happy, happy Hanukkah, filled with light and filled with strength. Feel the light of the Maccabees, the light of incredible, unexplainable courage in the face of impossible odds. That is really the miracle of Hanukkah. And as Rabbi Chaim Richman once said to me, the real miracle of Hanukkah is that there was a family who was willing to stand up. And that's what we have to be today as well, the Maccabees in every single one of our lives, for self-attainment, self-fulfillment, but certainly for national fulfillment, to stand up and be that Maccabee. All right, folks, more great stuff is on the way on the Yishai Fleisher Show, Land of Israel Network, Yishai at thelandofisrael.com. God bless you wherever you are. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Malka, hopefully, from an undisclosed location in the deep, beautiful desert of the Land of Israel. God bless you guys, and shalom.
Hello, I'm Gil Hoffman, host of Inside Israel Today, here on the Land of Israel Network on thelandofisrael.com. Israelis are voting for the third time in under a year, and they're celebrating Hanukkah, where there was just enough oil that was supposed to last one day that lasted eight. Do Israelis have enough energy to last for eight elections? Find out by listening to Inside Israel Today on the Land of Israel Network on thelandofisrael.com.
All right, folks, you are listening to the Yishai Fleisher Show, and we are now broadcasting from our car somewhere down in the deep Negev, and we are actually a few kilometers away from the beautiful, small desert city of Mitzpe Ramon, which is right on the edge of the Ramon crater, and I'm here with our beloved Malka Fleisher. Malka, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Yishai. We're in the car. And I smell like smoke and meat. And I'm looking at our Chanukiah, which I bought at Rami Levy grocery store, which is encased in like this thin glass and metal case so that the winds will not blow out our candles that are outside of our tent, which is an air-conditioned tent, I won't lie. because it is way cold out here in the Negev Desert. Even though it's the Negev Desert and you think of the desert as a hot place, at night it's really quite cold. So we are glamping.
That's right, we're glamping. But also, by the way, today wasn't even that hot. Today was actually a kind of cold day. And we went to the alpaca farm, and followed by a small, kind of like a small private planetarium, which was an interesting thing. Yesterday we did a beautiful, amazing hike in the land of Israel. And this is something that Malka and I, this is something that you and I do every year, really. It's something that I thought was always important, which is vacationing in Hanukkah. The kids are off of school in Hanukkah, and it's really a great time to meet the land of Israel and to get back to nature, get back to kind of being, like, for me, the last few days, I cannot believe how many people have tried to reach me, and I've just been like, look, I'm on vacation. And I'm not even telling them I can't be reached. I'm just like, I just don't respond that much, and have just lowered my social media a little bit, but like just back to nature, back to family, back to Hanukkah, back to like what it's all about. And I personally always say to you, Malka, right, like the greatest gift you could give me is just some vacation time, right? That's the best thing we could do. I love to be with the kids, and I love to be with you.
Aww. Well, I love to be with you too. And this has been a really fun time. We did a lot of stuff. We went camping with friends that we've been camping now with several times. I don't know how many times. How many has it been? But we found some friends who our kids are friends with their kids. And we go camping with them, usually Hanukkah time. And we went on like an amazing hike where the only downside was that we kind of misjudged a certain part of the, what they say in Hebrew is the maslul, a certain part of the route of the camping, and then we were forced to wade through what we'll call hip deep water, which was extremely cold, and kids had to be carried on backs of grown-ups, and there was a lot of general screaming.
Yeah. Our four-year-old almost got hypothermia, I think.
Yeah, I would like to just say that Lama's breathing is good for a lot of things, not just birthing.
That's
and
right.
I would like to say to the Lamaze people, thank you, that I did a lot of the this on my way through the water.
Yeah. I was like that was me. I was like,
that was pretty close. It's not the
I was
the
like, yeah, I was
the, form,
man, the man version of birthing, I guess.
Yeah, it was very intense, very memorable. And yeah, Isha, you did a good job feeding the alpacas today. They
yeah.
seemed to really like you and relate to you.
Yeah, I felt a certain kinship.
If you stick your teeth out, you know, the bottom teeth, look like a kind of friendly
yeah.
alpaca.
And they spit at you. They spit at our friend Baruch. That's considered good luck. But what can I tell you, folks? Just it's so great to get out to nature. It's so great to light a fire. We've lit a fire every single night and barbecued on beautiful Traeger grills. And really right now in the car, because the kids are making a lot of noise in the tent, and we're just looking from the car to the, to those four Hanukkah candles and the shamash, and they're just so Malka, that encasing is so brilliant. It really does not allow the wind to break through.
$79.90 at Rami Levy grocery store.
All right, so that's like what, like $25, $30, whatever, and it's a beautiful, beautiful encasing. Last year's broke, so you bought a new one,
and it's awesome because it's $79.90
shekels,
right? And then you're just like, okay. And then I bought a new one.
That's right.
Such a good deal.
We're a little bit...
And it turns out that the other people around me also were aware of this deal or something similar, because a lot of the people camping around us are also religious, and they also brought their glass-encased Hanukkah wisely because it's windy and chilly out here.
That's right.
And everyone's lights are twinkling nicely.
Most of our neighbors here are indeed observant Jews, but not all. The tent right next to ours is a non-observant family. Malka, you invited them yesterday to light the Chanukiah. I noticed that they did not bring their own Chanukiah, and so therefore they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of lighting the Hanukkah candles, which is a shame, because it's such a wonderful mitzvah, such an easy one, which really is not taxing and gives so much to the kids. It's almost, I'm always like thinking to them, to myself, like, why aren't you lighting? This isn't even so... How should we say? It's not heavily orthodox. It's light.
Maybe they just don't think it's important. Maybe they don't see why they should do it. Maybe they think it's a nice thing, but they don't understand why they should be doing it every single day.
Right. And that's part of really that's really part of when you're observant. So the commandments take on a kind of mystical and demanding element that you just can't kind of second guess and you can't play around with. But that also gives regularity and structure and something that happens automatically, and it's just there, and you don't have to think about it. So ironically, having something forced upon you also relieves you of considering, do it or not do it.
Right.
You just
don't
do
have
it,
to think
and then
hard about some
right,
stuff.
And then you just enjoy it because you did it anyway.
I mean, the Hanukkah candles are one of those things that I think is just a pleasure to do anyway.
That's what I'm saying. It's like an easy one. But you see what happens when it's just a cultural thing and it's just reshoot. Like you can choose to do it or not do it. Anyway, but what was interesting?
Yeah, but our neighbors, they were super happy to come to our candle lighting.
That's right.
And we went all the way through Maoszor. I don't know about you guys, but I went through just one verse of Maoszor all the way growing up every year. And even that, we were like, wow, we're so hardcore. We're singing a whole verse of Maoszor. But there's more. How many verses are there? Do you remember?
I guess five or six.
There's a bunch. And they were just like, okay. But then I gave their kids gelt. Because I have gelt will travel.
That's right. And that's
my gelt.
When you marry a Hungarian woman, the way to get rid of the service of God through guilt is through the Hanukkah mitzvah of gelt. When you give the gelt, it offsets the guilt, Malka. Great job.
Right.
Yeah,
I love jokes at my expense.
I like jokes at my expense.
Well, that's the one of the major cultural differences between us. And that's Kibbutz Galiot.
That's right. That's the
engagement. So our kids are only mediumly upset about jokes at their expense. See, yeah. We're breeding that away.
Which direction? In any case, so this is just a little short discussion. And I'm sure there's important politics and issues to discuss right now.
No.
There's ICC. And there's
Hebron
stuff. There's all kinds of stuff out there, but you know what? It's like, I just yawned. You just yawned?
I just yawned. It's like 8:30.
No, it's not.
I think it's like 9.
It's 9:32, Malka. It's 9:32 in the car, in the Negev. And it's just a pleasure to be with you, everybody. And it's Chag Sameach. Chag Sameach, Chagurim Sameach. When you're here in the Negev with the Jewish people, you just have a lot more confidence. We saw hundreds and hundreds of student groups in that canyon that we were hiking in, and they look good. And you just say to yourself, I'm Yisrael Chai. And I think if you have to boil the whole Hanukkah down, it's really I'm Yisrael Chai. I mean, you could boil all the holidays to that. But
well, yeah. I mean, I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying. It's not exactly about I'm Yisrael Chai. It's like, it's not enough. The story of Hanukkah was actually that it's not enough that Am Yisrael Chai.
I mean,
Am Yisrael was super high during the time of the Greeks' cultural expansion out into our area, and they were Chai v'Kayam. They were doing just fine, and some people saw it as an advancement. Maybe they're maybe it's good for us. And the Maccabees were like, that is not enough. To be Chai is not the goal. The goal is not to Chai. The goal is to do something more than that, and to mean something more than that, and to be who we are.
I agree with everything you're saying, and I actually foresaw that you would say this.
Did you?
Yes.
You foresaw it.
In my mind's eye, in my third eye, that's right, I foresaw it in my sixth sense, whatever it was called, or in just my logical reasoning. And so I parry by saying, for sure you're right, you're totally right, but what I meant was really is that I'm Yisrael. It has a mission. When I say Am Yisrael Chai, like the Yisrael part, it's not an Am that's Chai. It's Yisrael, a nation that's meant to be a light to the world through its Torah, through its real. Its name has the name of God in it. El. It's very, very mission. Without that, it's not Am Yisrael Chai.
Right.
It's Am somebody else Chai. It's Am, I don't know, Jacob and Chai, or Am, Shemi Chai, the Semites. No, we're talking about the Israel thing, the real thing, the deep thing of Am Yisrael Chai. That's what I'm talking about, what it's really all about.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, yes.
Did you foresee that?
Yes. I mean, no.
Oh.
But I'm not surprised that you would parry as it were, Luke, to use the word that you used. I just, you know, our secular next-door neighbors at the camping ground, they're lovely people. And they're definitely chai. You should see the way that they like, eat a beautiful meal, and they're together. And they're, you know, I just saw one of the abbas, like, brushing, so meticulously brushing the teeth of one of the little girls. And, you know, they're very nice, and they're very polite, and they're very Israeli. But they don't know what Hanukkah is. You know, speaking of social media, Isha, you go through social media and you see that, like, there are people, there are these, like, Jews who put the, like, BDS on the dreidel.
Yeah.
They, like, put a B, a D, an S, and a heart on the four sides of the thing. And they're like, BDS. I'm just like, you don't know what Hanukkah is. And you don't know who the Maccabees were. And you don't know what we're doing here. You don't know why we're celebrating this holiday. You don't know who you are, even. And that is, that's, like, the tip of the iceberg of it. You know, I love Am Yisrael, and I love the secular Jews, and I believe in the long game. So I don't, like, get freaked out necessarily by the fact that Israel seems to have such a long way to go when it comes to regaining our culture after all this time. But at the same time, like, I understand that we do have a long way to go, and the Maccabees, they went militant on it. And some people have a different, you know, way of doing it. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, for example, would not go militant, right? His idea was not, like, slaughter the secular people, you know what I mean? His idea was, like, inspire the secular people and get them to love the Torah. And these are, like, the issues that we're dealing with today, is that the Jewish people really do have to wake up to their identity. They ought to, for their own good, for the world's good, for Hashem's good.
Maka, there are four Hanukkah candles, and that means we're either halfway done, or the class is half full, or it's half empty. It's almost halfway over, or we're only just getting to the real great point of Hanukkah, which is the eighth day. And you know, we light one and we add one every day. But there was another rabbi, Rabbi Shammai, right, who said, "No, let's start with eight and then go down one until there's just one little light." And there's something I like about that, which is like, and that's not the way we do it, but like the idea is like, until we know that there's only one, right? There's all these forces, there's all these things, and these all these wars, and there's great things, but it goes down until you remember it's only one Hashem, right? One is Hashem, one is Hashem, one is Hashem.
In heaven and the earth.
And the heaven and the earth. And I want to thank everybody for being with us. I want to thank Ben Bresky, Moshe Herman, and Tabitha for getting this show out to the world. I want to thank the Land of Israel Network for being so wonderful. I also bumped into Joel Guberman from the Tchelet people today here in Mitzpah Rimon. Nice. So I just want to mention the True Blue. Like, we saw the alpaca wool. But alpaca wool,
I wonder if you can make a tzitzis with the alpaca wool.
Why not?
Wool.
Yeah.
It might be a little too soft.
I don't know.
Squishy.
But you could dye it True Blue and get the Tchelet on it. So that's Tchelet. .com. That's Tchelet. That's one of our sponsors and friends, and many other great folks, and of course the good folks in Hebron, where they're doing great Hanukkah lighting with all kinds of important people. Check out my Facebook page. You'll see a fabulous, and Twitter, fabulous video of a Chanukiah at the very top of Marat HaMachpelah. I want to bless you guys wherever you are with an awesome rest of Hanukkah. Lots of light for your household, for your family, for your the light of meaning. I think we're always dancing around it, but at the end it's like the Hanukkah candles are there. They're a tool to find meaning, and I really want to bless you, and I know you as parents and grandparents and as folks out there, you want to find meaning in this holiday. May Hashem give you that insight. Look at that Chanukiah, look at those candles, and just be like, yes, feel that meaning. And be able to pass that meaning on through the generations. All right, folks, more great stuff is on the way. God bless you, and also Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom from the Land of Israel. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Josh Haston here, host of Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network. At thelandofisrael.com, check out my special Hanukkah interview with Eugene Kontorovich, head of the International Law Department at the Kohelet Policy Forum. He talks about the International Criminal Court's decision to investigate Israel for alleged war crimes in Judea and Samaria.
You can't let Jews build here or there, because all of these things were said to be triggers for an ICC investigation. And nonetheless, the ICC investigation is coming anyway.
Kontorovich says that while the ruling is simply political, it could be a blessing in disguise. Listen to find out why. Happy Hanukkah to all of our listeners from all of us here at the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.